I'll be at the Plymouth Congregational Church in Washington, D.C. tonight at 6:30. Then Saturday, it's on to Portland, Maine. Then in the evening in Bangor on Saturday. On Sunday, I'll be at College of the Atlantic in Bar Harbor at 11 in the morning. And then we're on to Chicago on Monday and Tuesday and Toronto at the end of the week. Check democracynow.org for details. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. And now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views for Dearborn and the surrounding area. How are you doing out there, huh? Beautiful day in Dearborn. Is that a positive way to say the name of the city or not? My name is Jay Koronek, and I'm here with John Conroy, our WHFR news director. So, John, you had fun driving in from Gros Eagle today?
Yes, sir, Jay. No problems.
Yep. No torrential rain. We had a little bit of a downpour last night, but yeah, that was predicted. So it's going to be nice today at least, and it's a little bit cooler, and I think it's just lovely out there right now. So enjoy this and whatever you can on the weekend. Supposed to be a couple little showers tomorrow. Don't normally do the weather because so many people listen to the podcast of this show, available anytime, you know, at WHFR.fm. Click on Talk Shows, and then choose WHFR Journal and pick the right date, and there we are. So it could be just about any kind of weather if somebody's listening to the podcast. But
might be a little cooler this weekend is what I've heard.
You know? Right, yeah. So we're really geeked here to go, oh my goodness, getting down and dirty, digging deeper into local news and views. Today is Friday the 13th, and of course that happens frequently, and a couple times a year that there's Fridays that happen to be the 13th of the month. This is May 13th, and I hope that doesn't freak anybody out for me to remind them, but they've always been relatively good days for me in the past. Ever since I was growing up, people say, ooh, it's Friday the 13th. And I said, well, I'm having no problem so far, you know, and I really haven't. Although things can happen anytime on any day. No reason to be superstitious. Okay. And but so here we are, and of course the technology is working in the studio. We just got a new computer. Thank you for the pledge drive, folks. We get one new computer each year, and this year it happened to come right here in Studio A. So nice, sharp, bright Macintosh screen. And we're all Macintosh here, by the way. I wish Apple would give us a couple freebies for being that way, but they don't. But be careful out there anyway. As we always say at the end of the show, it is important for you to take care of yourselves because we don't want to lose any listeners.
No,
we don't have many to lose, but we have to be careful, everybody. Okay, moving into just the newspapers from the past, and we have a couple stories we didn't touch on last week, so we're going to get that out of the way first and then go to what's happening around town and what's coming up. So from the Dearborn Press and Guide last Sunday, I don't think we have yet said, and now it's probably time because 2 weeks from tomorrow, May 28th, Saturday, May 28th, will be the Memorial Day Parade here in Dearborn. And it's one of the longest continuous celebrations, if you want to call it that, of Memorial Day. I would say it's a recognition of Memorial Day. We don't want to celebrate dying, even for your country. It would be a lot better if your country didn't need people to die for it, of course. And this year, it's interesting that a homeless veteran is to be honored at the 2016 Memorial Day Parade. So here's the story. The Dearborn Allied War Veterans Council spotlights a veteran during its remembrance ceremony at the end of each parade, usually the soldiers from Michigan area. Quote, we find unclaimed remains that might be sitting on a shelf at a funeral home, do background checks to make sure they're veterans, and try to get the remains to the family. That's according to Sean Green, who's commander of the DAWVC. If we can't find out, we put the remains on a caisson and have it lead off the parade in a flag-covered casket guarded by a military unit. That's his statement. And the story goes on to say, the remembrance ceremony at the parade's end consists of honoring and sharing the background of the fallen soldier, a speech by the Grand Marshal, and flag-folding ceremony and speech by the mayor. The soldier being remembered this year is traveling a long way to get a proper memorial. Homeless veteran Richard Peter Nokel lived in Texas and served in the Air Force from 1962 to 66. He died February 25th at age 71. The Delta County Sheriff's Department in Texas contacted the DAWVC about honoring Nokel. The sheriff was always told he was a veteran, but he lived in another county. Story continued on page 4A. Yes, you can hear the pages turning on the air. We're the only news show that makes that possible for you. And anyway, neither county wanted to pick up the cremation costs, so the sheriff paid for it out of his own pocket. Nokel's remains are being shipped to Michigan, and he will be given an escort to Great Lakes National Cemetery in Holly, Michigan, where he will be honored. So two states came together to ensure that this veteran, who happened to be homeless, didn't end up in a pauper's grave. And again, that's quote from Mr. Green, adding that the ceremony is a respected tradition started by the consul's previous commanders. Sad for me to say that anybody has to be homeless. If people know that a veteran, by golly, that's special. That's very important, not just because we have our own veteran on our staff in the studio right now. And I have to say, here's an opinion thing, John, so get ready with your qualification statement in a second.
Okay.
My opinion is we shouldn't have any veterans, okay, which means we shouldn't have any wars. Shouldn't have any wars. That would eliminate all the problems with veteran homelessness and mental challenges. We'll talk about the theme of the parade shortly, too. And I know that's very, very pie in the sky, perhaps naive, but that's my hope and prayer, is that we never have to have veterans in the future. Maybe imagine any country without war. Imagine. Then no country would have to have veterans. And we can still have Memorial Day.
Right.
For all the people that did die in the past before we got smart and civilized and found out a way not to kill each other worldwide. I know. Could that ever happen? I sure hope so. We need to work for that. I'll go on and mention that
Well, Jay, I'll make my...
Yeah, go ahead. There was a big opinion there, and everybody's probably going to hate us and blame the college for it. So, yeah, straighten them out, John.
Well, certainly in an ideal world, that would be great. But our views and opinions are our own, and they are not necessarily the views and expressions of Henry Ford College and WHFR Radio. I do want to say again, on the positive side of veterans themselves, is Fridays are always a red day. Remember everyone deployed, and folks should wear red to honor our veterans on Friday afternoons, our Friday days.
Okay. And that's a good thought. I keep forgetting about that. Yeah. Although I did have red stripes in my jacket today, but it doesn't count because I didn't remember that's what I was wearing it for. Okay. Shame on me. What's important here, too, is that the Grand Marshal and the theme for the Memorial Day Parade here in Dearborn has to do with suicides of veterans. That shouldn't happen, but it happens a lot, folks. Many times more suicides per capita of veterans than the general public. And probably because war is hell. It's a terrible thing. And when you're up close to it, it's going to affect you in a negative way. Of course, physically, perhaps, unfortunately, but also mentally and emotionally. So they chose the Grand Marshal, and his name is, got it here. Actually, I didn't see that in the last Sunday story, but here's the press release from the city of Dearborn, though. And it is Stephen Cochran. That's S-T-E-P-H-E-N. Stephen Cochran is Grand Marshal. This is, I didn't mention how many years, it's the 92nd annual Memorial Day Parade here in Dearborn. So it's the oldest continuous parade in Michigan, which implies, I guess, there's a Memorial Day Parade that has been continuous somewhere else in the U.S. longer. But I don't know how long. I haven't researched that. I'll bring up my typical Wikipedia research on Memorial Day when we get closer to that, I guess. So why did they choose this country singer? Well, he's gone through it himself, and he is the chair of, is it a chair or just part of a group, referred to as the 22A Day, due to the higher number of veterans who commit suicide each year in the United States as compared to non-military individuals. Cochran, as I said, is now a professional country music singer. He joined the Marine Corps following the attacks of September 11th. He served with the 2nd Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion, 1st Marine Expeditionary Force in Iraq and Afghanistan. During a 2004 combat patrol in Kandahar, he was severely wounded and left the Corps with a traumatic head injury, broken back, and no use of his legs. Told by doctors he'd never walk again, he struggled with, quote, demons both mental and physical, unquote. At a low point, he sat exhausted and alone in his Nashville home with a loaded shotgun, obviously thinking about continuing his life or not. He said, quote, this is from Cochran, I didn't know what was wrong with me. I was tired of taking all these pills. And that's not necessarily a good thing. Sometimes prescribed medication is can be part of the problem, that depression or other frailty results as side effects. Anyway, he said, I was going through a breakup, watching everything fall apart. I was ready to check out. But his girlfriend, was that the breakup? Well, anyway, his girlfriend arrived at the scene in time to physically restrain Cochran to prevent his suicide. So that's an advantage of having a girlfriend. That's right there. But after a long struggle, an experimental procedure to repair his broken back was successfully performed at the Nashville VA Medical Center. Extensive rehab followed, and once he could walk again, he resumed his life, but with a new passion to reach distressed veterans and their families. That is a principle about depression, is if you do something to end your life, realize you're eliminating all the possibilities in the future, like Stephen Cochran there. He's had to go through a lot, had to go through an operation that they finally were able to, know how to do and did it, and it was successful. And with a lot of work at rehab, he can walk again and, starting his music career. Of course, his country music career includes writing songs about veterans and the struggles that they all share. Perhaps others. So he's going to lead the parade here in Dearborn, which will feature 80 veteran and community groups and 10 school bands, and then offer keynote remarks at the solemn remembrance ceremony that follows at the new Veterans Park and War Memorial. Hope they finish it in time. I just drove by that area in front of the Centennial Library, and it's not done yet as of today. So I don't know what's holding them up. Maybe they're just going to plow a lot of dirt in there and finish it off with a few flowers. I don't know.
There's still a couple weeks left.
Well, they still have 2 weeks, I know, but they're going to have to start working fast. It's a big hole there, really. Now, he's also going to perform a free concert that evening at 7 p.m. Saturday, May 28th, at the Ford Community Performing Arts Center. That's indoors. It's a free concert. It'll feature Cochran and fellow country singer-songwriter Sam Tate and Tyler J. Satterfield. And he says, I'm focusing all my attention to an organization called #Stop22, which he started with a fellow Marine vet and singer-songwriter, and also with Sam Tale, too, a veteran Army vet. That's redundant. Well, anyway, we get the idea. And so maybe when you go to the concert for free, but they have a donation bucket out there that you can help to support the cause.
Yes, and I want to mention, too, Jay, we had... a while back we had Sal Haji from the Michigan Military Moms as one of our guests, mm-hmm. and the support centers for veterans and their families. We have one very well-established center at the Metro Airport. We just opened another one at Metro Airport, so there's two there now. And there's also at Bishop Airport, where families, military vets, and their families can come. When they have any kind of flight, they can stop there and get a snack, relax, get something to read, take a nap, visit with other like veterans and their families. And there are some very good support groups for veterans who may be having
luckily,
as well as the Michigan Military Moms also march in the parade.
There's quite a few nonprofit groups that have been formed to help our veterans these days in a variety of ways, and certainly we encourage our listeners out there to support those organizations and give them money, give them time. To do things. We have a lot of nonprofits in the area, but this is a noble cause, and certainly if we didn't have wars, we wouldn't need veterans, and veterans that have to suffer, die, or later have to suffer mentally and emotionally these kinds of problems. So I think it's a very serious theme, and Stephen Cochran seems like he's a great spokesperson, and he's working very hard to draw attention to the to his cause, and also entertain people too. Mm-hmm. So he does have a career that goes back a few years. Let's see. In fact, Cochran's dad was a singer-songwriter when he grew up in Nashville. He was raised in the Nashville area, and he had legends among his family's friends like Bobby Bear. That's B-A-R-E, and Del Reeves. Remember Del Reeves? He was national spokesperson for the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs from 2009 to 2014. Even did a couple music videos to support the VA. Some of his hits, if you're looking them up on iTunes Music Store or Amazon.com, are Gasoline on a Goodbye, or When a Hero Falls, Pieces, She'll Thank Me Later, and Whiskey Lies. There you go. Those are some real country-ish titles, certainly. I haven't heard them yet, but maybe we'll get some on the air for you in the next week or two. I also have to tell you that the parade is going to start at 10 a.m. Monday, and it's going to go west, not east. Okay?
Right. Yep.
So it's going to start at Schaefer Avenue. And Michigan, of course, Michigan Avenue is going to be the street, but it's going to start from the so-called Old City Hall, which is now the Art Space Building, and that's where it's going to form, and it's going to end at the new Veterans Park and War Memorial, assuming it's finished, at the Henry Ford Centennial Library on the west side. I actually think that's a little bit further, because they usually started at Greenfield Road in Michigan and went east.
Right.
So it's not that much longer to march.
No.
The only problem is for people to be close to the parade as it's coming west. If they're going to be on the south side of the street there, they're going to be on the median in between, because you can't see it really from the sidewalk on the south side. And the north side of Michigan Avenue doesn't have a sidewalk.
Ah.
Yeah, it's a Ford Motor Company property, so there's just grass there. But I'm sure they'll let people get their chairs or whatever and, camp out there. It's only a few hours in the morning. But I'm just saying it's that last stretch there from Greenfield to the new Veterans Park and War Memorial at the Centennial Library is... a good view will have to be on grass, either on the median, so be careful of crossing the street. I suspect that the Dearborn Police will close off all of Michigan Avenue both ways, actually, during the parade, as they usually closed it off from Greenfield to Schaefer anyway, so they'll just probably extend it into that area, so maybe it won't be so risky after a certain time in the morning to cross. I would guess, it doesn't say here, but I guess that they'll start closing down Michigan Avenue about 9 a.m. And again, that's two Saturdays from tomorrow. Well, 2 weeks from tomorrow, depending how you count Saturdays. It might be three Saturdays, but it's May 28th. It's going to start at 10 a.m. Usually the parade lasts about an hour or two, depending on how quickly they walk. and drive. And sometimes it has, of course, local politicians, and certainly John Dingell used to be in the parade a lot, and I bet Debbie Dingell will be there.
Most likely.
Yep. Anybody that's anybody politically wants to be seen in the Dearborn Parade. That's usually the way it goes. Okay, so we gave the story on that. That's important. But also from last Sunday, this is something that's coming up tomorrow. It's always big in Dearborn. The 11th annual Mutt Strut is going to benefit the Dearborn Animal Shelter. They haven't changed their name yet. Still under negotiations, I guess. And still the great, it will be still the same great organization it always was, and getting better all the time. They're moving ahead on their new facility. They still need, I think, $1 million or $2 million, but they hope to raise a lot of money. I think they're hoping to raise $75,000 from the Mutt Strut. And if you don't know about it, it's going to be at Ford Field Park here in Dearborn. The address is technically Cherry Hill, but it's actually south of Cherry Hill. And it is a pledge-driven dog walk to raise money for the Dearborn Animal Shelter's adoptable dogs and cats, as well as a community-wide animal celebration. Open to all pet lovers in the Metro Detroit area, the event is presented by Dearborn Family Pet Care. That's a veterinarian facility, and boasts plenty of free family-friendly activities throughout the day from 9 a.m. all the way to 3 p.m.
This is tomorrow, Saturday.
Tomorrow, yes. Tomorrow, the 14th. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we're filled the same yeah, location as our
Dearborn Homecoming.
Dearborn Homecoming, yeah.
That's right, yeah. So it's fun to just go out there with the family and look around. There's also, besides, you can look at all the animals that are being strutted, if you will, walked around proudly by their owners. But also there's a lot of other things going on. But the big event is at 11 a.m., ribbon cutting and a walk. Start with Finley, who is the 2016 Mutt Strut Spokesdog. So he's going to bark a few barks, probably. And, of course, other dignitaries besides Finley are going to be there, too. There's a big, nice picture of Finley in the pressing guide last Sunday. Very distinguished-looking animal. Oh, boy. Is he adoptable? Oh, what a beautiful dog. Also, a new Disc Dogs of Michigan Frisbee competition. Is that really an organization, Disc Dogs of Michigan? Is that where they throw a disc and the dog catches it?
Yes.
The dogs catch the disc.
Frisbee,
right?
Yep.
Right. Okay. And the Metro Detroit food trucks are going to be serving local street food cuisine, even vegan, out there during the day. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And there's going to be a lot of vendors that have animal-related products or services, too. So anything animal-oriented, not just dogs, is the time to celebrate and a time to respect our feline and canine friends, as we should respect all other animals in the world too, yeah, including human ones. Going back to that first story. Okay, moving on. Dearborn Times Herald from this Wednesday, right on their front page, a story that it seems a little negative, and for some reason they cover these stories, and Press and Guide chooses not to cover them. I mean, certainly city government in Dearborn always wants to be, as Mayor Guido said, a cheerleader. You know, you just, yay, Dearborn. Everything. Well, it's hard to say yay when stores are closing, but Toys R Us is closing in June.
You mean Mayor O'Reilly?
Mayor O'Reilly. Yeah. No, Mayor Guido used to say that he was a cheerleader.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was his quote. I haven't heard Mayor O'Reilly say he's a cheerleader. Because
you know he is.
I don't know how he'd look in a short skirt or anything. You know,
it's I'm sure he's a big supporter.
Oh, of course. I mean, that's one of the jobs. You're the public relations key figure.
Rah-rah guy.
Of course. Yeah. Because who else is going to put a good spin on it? Fox News? No. It's not because of bad sales trends necessarily. It has nothing to do with Toys R Us in this case, folks. It's the people that own the property have sold the property. And nobody knows what it was because the people that sold the property... the people that own it now, anyway, or will own it in June, is Michigan and Telegraph Ventures, LLC, located in Birmingham. But they won't say what they're going to do with it. I know a lot of folks around here at the college, and fast food may not be the most healthy food all the time, but they're hoping and praying for what was promised kind of in that location, which was a Sonic hamburger stand.
Oh.
You know, Sonic has all kinds of, I mean, relatively unhealthy, highly sugared drinks.
Shakes
of one kind or another. They're famous for that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought that should happen, and it didn't. They built another hotel right at that corner. I just was out there this last week, and because I live in East Dearborn, going to West Dearborn, ooh, what a thrill. Things change, you know, every now and then. And I couldn't believe that there was another hotel, another small hotel there. I mean, it's great if we have that many tourists, you know, coming to Dearborn. But the Hyatt is not doing so well. Well, there is no Hyatt now. But whatever the former Hyatt Regency is called, there it is with the second largest number of rooms in Michigan. And it's been resold 3-4 times over the last 10 years, primarily because they're not making a lot of money on it. And I don't know about the Henry. That's a different caliber than of client than what these little pocket hotels have. Well, of course, the train station is now active in West Dearborn, so maybe they think people get off the train, pick up a rental car or something, and quickly go to a nearby small pocket hotel to finish up a tour. I don't know, Greenfield Village and the other high points.
There's lots of
the
other
Detroit area. Like beautiful Grosse Isle. There's all kinds of things to do there. And a segue, next weekend, is it?
Next weekend is our Island Fest, yes.
Okay.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll have car shows. We'll have a carnival. We'll have lots of art displays and singing. Pretty much a high school, devoted to high school performances on Saturday during the day. And then there'll be the professional performers on Saturday night. And lots of great food vendors as well.
Sounds like great fun.
Good time to be had by all, as well as a parade on Saturday morning on not at the airport grounds, but on the main street of Macomb.
Okay, so the main street is Macomb. So would it be just briefly if they came from like the western road that comes out of Trenton there,
right?
And cross that bridge.
If you cross the bridge and go to the end of the bridge, you would take a left to go towards Macomb.
Okay.
Off Parkway, and then if you want to go to the airport where the festival is, you take a right.
Okay.
And go as far as you go.
You can't go too far wrong. If you take the wrong turn, and you'll find out in about 5 minutes probably. But
You can't go any further than the airport as far as south goes.
Well, I hope they have big signs up. Maybe they will.
Oh, too. There's already signs up.
Well, there you go. Okay. So, beautiful Grosse Isle.
Much advanced publicity.
And it's sort of like a spirit fest. What are they calling it?
Island Fest.
Just Island Fest.
It used to be called the Azalea Festival
as
a tribute to the nursery that we have.
The nursery,
on
the beautiful nursery there, yes.
I can't think of the name right now. But
I can't either, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we just go from one story to the next here at the new WHFR Journal. Making
West,
ways.
I just thought of that, Jay. Westcroft Gardens.
Oh, there you go. Westcroft,
name
sure.
Of the place. There we go.
One of the things I like about Westcroft is you don't necessarily have to buy anything, but if you just like a nice few minutes with the family, you can walk around their very large grounds. That's free to do. Just park your car and walk around, look at the beautiful bushes and trees that they are cultivating before they, of course, decide to sell them. And it's really lovely. I actually, when I was in college at Wayne State, actually shot part of a required student project at Westcroft.
Oh, wow.
Because it was a romance scene, you know, and so with the old beautiful colored flowers around, I got a couple together, and nothing naked, of course. you know, it's all GP or PG or whatever rated, but, Westcroft was nice enough to let me shoot there, so.
Well, another segue, not only at the, at our farmers, at our Westcroft Gardens, we have a farmer's market, and next week is the beginning of the farmer's market in Dearborn.
Yep.
I'm grabbing the story, John. Thank you for the lead-in. It's the ninth season of Dearborn Farmers Market. You know, started by just local people who said we ought to do this, and helped out by the Chamber of Commerce, the Area Chamber of Commerce for the Dearborn area, as well as the City of Dearborn helping. And in fact, starting up on May 20th, next Friday again, there will be a ribbon cutting ceremony at 8:50 a.m. sharp. Get that pun, the sharpness of the knife, we hope, or the scissors to cut the ribbon. Mayor John B. O'Reilly Jr. himself will be there, and the public is welcome to attend. Bring your scissors if you want to help cut the ribbon. No, probably he'll just do it. I always wondered how they get those big, look like fake scissors to cut the ribbon. I wonder if there's a real scissors inside it somewhere.
Big shears.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe it's actually a big shears. Yeah. Like a bush cutting shears or something. Activities are scheduled all day, and this will be true on throughout the summer. There, every Friday is going to be the Farmers Market, the Dearborn Farmers Market, that is sponsored, as I said, by the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce and the City of Dearborn, for the good of the people here and for the fun too. So that day, next Friday, they'll include cooking demonstrations and food tasting from the Nar Bar in Dearborn, N-A-R. A live jazz quartet from Henry Ford College Music Department is going to be performing. That'll be great. Springtime flowers will be provided, brought over, and sold by English Gardens, and a fun and engaging pollination workshop. That sounds sexy. For children. Uh-oh. No. PG. GP. Whatever. And a full market with more than 40 vendors. And so we're hoping for good weather, and it should be a lot of fun. There's also a popular Power of Produce Kids Club presented by Beaumont Health will return this season. The program engages children 5 to 12 in the benefits of living a fun, healthy, and active lifestyle, thereby ruining the business of Beaumont Health. But that's okay, right? Providing $2 in tokens every week at the market to spend on fresh fruits and vegetables. Children who shop and interact with growers and farmers are able to participate in the market. And additionally, throughout the season, children will participate in market school field trips and learn the importance of healthy foods. So a lot of people are collaborating on that. And again, it's officially called the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market, because there's a number of local artists that put their work on display, too, that you can buy there. Usually always a woodworker or two.
Woodworkers.
Also, in the past, but who knows what will be there this year. They do have a website if you want more information on through the summer. Dearborn Farmers Artisans Market.com. I know it's long, but that's literally what it is. Dearborn Farmers, and then leave out the word and. Dearborn Farmers, plural, artisans, plural, market.com. Okay. You could also just call the Chamber of Commerce to the Dearborn Area Chamber for more information. But starting next week, and it goes from 9 a.m. each day to 2 p.m. each day, each Friday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., with the exception of July 1st, because everybody's out doing something wild for that Independence Day weekend, I guess. Okay.
Yes, and I suggest you get there early if you want to partake in buying some of the delicious baked goods they have, because I've been there many times at around 1 o'clock in the afternoon and they're sold out. So
right.
Come as early as possible.
Definitely need to get there before John gets there, because then they will definitely be sold out after. He loves those baked goods, I'll tell you. He's donated a lot to us, WHFR staff here.
There we go.
And we have to buy, you know, one size larger clothes, thanks to John, but that's okay. It's all wonderful. And you've got to have a little treat every now and then, right? And it's great for kids. It really is. We WHFR usually has a day that we go out there. We actually broadcast live from that event. One time, we're trying to negotiate that right now and see what the best day is for us and for the other people that are going to be there. Obviously, the first day looks pretty well filled with special guests, but we're going to be there a little bit later, so I hope we can see you in person at the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market. Okay, moving on. I think that's all I wanted to say about the Times-Herald. Interesting story, though, in Times Herald, is that in Dearborn Heights, the city council and police chief, Lee Gavin, began discussions for the police department's proposed 2016-17 budget. Just like Dearborn is going through budget hearings for next year, the police department, they're projecting their budget to be lower than 2015-2016. So who would have a problem with that, right? There is... No, wait a minute. 27 general. Oh, the general budget. Okay, the general budget for the city of Dearborn Heights. I misspoke. That's going to be lower, a slight decrease. But the police department is asking for a slight increase of $60,000, $65,000, actually, over 2015-2016. And I don't understand, because then it says a $6,000 overall increase in salaries requested. So what's that $65,000 increase doing in there? So how is the $6,000 part of the $65,000, or is it something separate? But anyway, that's requested due to the removal of a patrol officer position and the addition of a detective bureau sergeant. Since the detective retirement and a removal of two juvenile officers, they're really kids? Juvenile officers. No, it's officers that specialize in juvenile crimes, there probably. Yeah. They're probably not juveniles who are officers. But these things happened back in 2002. That's a few years ago. Okay. The Bureau has been down to four employees working on 50 cases each. And you wonder how different crimes take so long to be investigated. You know, 50 cases each. Imagine coming into your office and you look at your desk and you've got 50 case files piled up there. And you've got to make phone calls or live in-person visits. And oh my God. They said another detective is definitely needed due to an increased workload of crime reports and investigations. We also have to handle child support, sex offender list, domestic violence, and requirements that come to them from the prosecutors. That's the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office. So they have 100 total employees over there in Dearborn Heights. And a total salary of about $6 million out of their budget of about 13-some million for the area. And their overtime budget, they think, will decrease a little bit. An increase comes for clothing in order to pay for new officer uniforms. That's only $10,000. But there's expected to be 10 to 15 new police hires in 2016-2017. A reduction of personnel attending college will result in a decrease from $20,000 to $15,000. I guess they got all that learning they needed. And the cost of fuel will see a decrease of $65,000 just due to lower fuel prices. So a lot of issues. Budgets, whether it's police or the cities, there's legalities, there's all kinds of things that force the budget either up or down a little bit. Seems pretty reasonable, and I like the way that the story was written by Zainab Najim for the Times Herald. It makes it very clear and very straightforward for the people in Dearborn Heights to consider. Okay, moving on. Let's see, just Wednesday this week also, as was the Times Herald and the Press and Guide. Dearborn Public Schools had a superintendent's night, and it recognizes the best excellence in Dearborn schools. So they're patting each other on the back, it looks like. A picture of Dave Mustonen, former student of mine here at Henry Ford College, oh, quite a few years ago, but still, he has been the communications coordinator, sort of the public relations person for Dearborn Public Schools for quite a few years now, doing a great job, I think. But Katie Hetrick, who writes the story and always does great stories about what's happening with our schools for the Press and Guide, her picture of David at the podium here, it looks like he is a head only, not much of a body there. The podium is very nice picture, but this is what happens, folks. Not Katie's fault. When you have to do a story and take the pictures for the story yourself, you have to be a photographer and a journalist. It's tough, okay? Got to take notes and also handle your camera at the same time. I mean, it's kind of expected of journalists these days to have all these talents. But believe me, if you want good photography, you need somebody that's only doing photography and taking dozens of pictures so that one is really good. You know, you can't just, you know, take one. Now, she has a couple other pictures that are included here, which are just fine, and for some reason don't include the same podium. What was interesting, though, is that the Dearborn superintendent, Glenn Maleko, actually got, and he was hosting the event, but he actually got him an award himself. And he was honored by a student for his time as a third and fifth grade teacher. You know, he's one of the first of our superintendents in quite a few years, to my recollection, maybe 30 or 40 years, that actually was a teacher at low level in the Dearborn system. And then rose on up, and now he's our superintendent. And he said, quote, "I can tell you I was extremely emotional, as I am sure some of you are." So it's nice to do this. Nice to honor teachers, even if it's internally, you know. I mean, because who would know better who has done the best but the people in the system themselves? So congratulations to all those people that are honored, and keep up the struggle in spite of many, many situations that make it difficult to be a great teacher these days or a great education administrator. We got to keep doing it as best we can. Can't give up on our kids. Another one of those opinions that I don't think John has to qualify.
No.
I think we all feel that way. So.
True enough. But I also want to say that we had Superintendent Maleko here on our show, who was extremely engaging gentleman. We had he had all kinds of stories to tell about his own background that influenced what he's doing today, and I think he's highly respected in the Dearborn area.
Yeah, we've got to get him back sometime soon to give us an update. That was about a year or more ago, I think, maybe a year and a half.
A little bit, yeah.
And what's happening at the Henry Ford Estate this weekend? Speaking of exciting activities, well, a little competition with the Mutt Strut, but even today from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., oh, not much time left, but there are, let's see what's happening today. Well, both today and tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Saturday, the Garden Volunteers annual plant sale and garden market will take place at the estate. Go to Henry Ford Estate. I think you know where it is if you live in Dearborn, and maybe you can buy some plants and something for maybe edible type stuff, maybe herbs or something too that they'd be selling. Not quite sure, but you might want to check that out.
Well, not only that, there's the celebration of Mothers, the Clara Ford Tribute Garden happening tomorrow.
Yeah, and also, if you want to pull garlic mustard out, they're doing a removal from part of the Rouge Rescue event tomorrow, also at the estate. And they're actually pulling out the garlic mustard plant from the banks, shores, and wooded areas around the estate. Garlic mustard, that sounds delicious, but it's an invasive plant that spreads by seed and can destroy diversification of the forest floor at up to 20 feet per year. The plant can produce up to 600 seeds, and those seeds can remain in the ground for up to 10 years. So that's every year they're out there pulling garlic mustard. So if you want some garlic mustard plants to take home that'll spread and overtake your grass, they're going to be there. Okay, moving on. Boy, now we get to the printed stories, which are more up to date here. Let's see. City of Dearborn. Oh, something else happening tomorrow. Boy, it's gonna be hard to choose. Mudstrut sounds like a good choice, though. That's it. But there's a shredding. It's a shredding day. Chopping up into little pieces. Free document shredding day takes place tomorrow from 8 a.m. to noon at the DPW yard, that is the Dearborn Public Works Yard, 2951 Greenfield, south of Rotunda, just south of the overpass of I-94 there. And right next to, by the way, the current home of the Dearborn Animal Shelter. The popular event, the shredding, is open to Dearborn residents only, and proof of residency is required. And there's a limit per person of 5 office-sized boxes of personal paper documents and a maximum weight, is it per box or all 5 boxes, of 50 pounds. So, boy, that's a lot of documents. they say that's important to do to avoid identity theft. But probably the better answer, and I'm not trying to get you to spend money here, folks, but probably the better answer is to have one of those cross-cutting shredders at home, a small version, to do it on a regular basis. And it can't be the kind that just makes tiny strips. It has to be turned into confetti. That's the only way you can avoid identity theft from that source. Poll workers are needed. This is from the City of Dearborn newsletter, which you can get by email, by the way, from cityofdearborn.org, if you'd let them know you want it. And I think they do still send it out to everybody, residents too. A lot of people may not have email still. But they're looking for poll workers for both the primary election on August 2nd and also the general election on November 8th. Those are Tuesdays both. Candidates should be 18 years of age, registered voter in Michigan, and have basic computer skills. Students who are 16 or 17 years old may also apply, which I think would be a great introduction for the process. This position pays $130 for the day, an additional $20 for attending the pre-election instruction classes, probably required, that will be held the week preceding each election. So that's $150. The work hours are from 6:15 a.m. until about 9 p.m. on each election day. So it's probably, I was trying to figure it out, I didn't actually do it with my calculator. I should have asked Siri to do that division problem for me, but it's about minimum wage. But still, a great service to the community. And if you've done it before, we need some experience there, folks. I've gone in the last couple of times to vote, and the people there, well, they had computer problems, they had registration problems, they were making calls constantly back to the city clerk's office in Dearborn to figure out what to do. So it is a challenge, and so those with experience, I think, would probably be preferred. Interested parties for that job, you have to fill out an application soon at the city clerk's office in Dearborn Administrative Center, the new Dearborn City Hall, 16901 Michigan Avenue in the center of the city opposite Ford headquarters. Free disposal of tires on May 21st and household hazardous waste on June 18th. Oh boy. And Vanguard Voices on May 22nd. That is a week from this Sunday. That is directed by G. Kevin Dewey from Henry Ford College here. Its spring concert will be on Sunday, May 22nd in Dearborn's Michael A. Guido Theater beginning at 4 p.m. So it's a great Sunday performance. They are charging, but, you know, the money goes to the program and the group, of course. So that is Sunday, May 22nd, 4 p.m., Ford Community and Performing Arts Center's Michael A. Guido Theater, and they have some great classic choral performances, and fun will be had by all, I think.
Including Carmina Burana. Burana is one of the featured performances there. And at the beginning of 2016, HFC launched a new one-year program in recording arts featuring a fully functional digital recording studio. Mm-hmm. Students in the recording arts certificate program gain hands-on experience in a fully functioning audio studio while learning the tools and vocabulary necessary to succeed in that professional recording studio.
Okay, John, in popular movies, though, Carmina Burana.
Burana, thank you.
Was that in the used in The Exorcist or The Omen or one of those horror films?
Could have been.
Trust me. Yeah.
I'm not sure which one it is, but
this is powerful, spooky stuff, I think. But we'll get back to you on that someday. It is a very famous composition, which I'm not sure if Carl Orff, O-R-F-F, who wrote it, actually was thinking about demonic possession at the time. If that's the right connection, I could be totally wrong. And be sure to send me an email at whfr@hfcc.edu. I love corrections, even though they take a week to mention on the air.
That shows that someone's listening, of course.
Yes, it's a test. That's why we say so many things wrong, to see if anybody's listening.
Catch you.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Only 12 minutes before Highway 61. And we've got some great blues music today, including a live in studio here at Henry Ford College at WHFR Performance. Jeff Malin and others, or they're getting set up out there. It's going to be a great show, great entertainment, as always, of course, from 2 to 4 with Kitty Love. And again, blues music with Mike Holloway, Go With The Flow. Mike is doing the 4 to 6 o'clock blues shows now on a regular basis. A couple of events from the League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights. Their general membership meeting, which anybody can go to and just want to sort of investigate what's happening. Their topic, and it's coming up Thursday, May 19th, so next week, Thursday at 7 p.m. It says, Undercroft at Christ Episcopal Church. That's in West Dearborn. Okay? And the question is, democracy in the August 2nd primary, will you vote? What's on the ballot? Why should we try hard to get out the vote? What information do the voters need? And what can you do to help? So all members and friends of the cause of the League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights, are certainly invited. Again, that's Thursday night, May 19th, 7 p.m., Christ Episcopal Church in West Dearborn. And so we'll try to mention dates like that on a regular basis to get it get the word out there. Okay, what else we got here? Let's see. Dearborn Home Tour tomorrow. Didn't mention that, did we?
Nope.
Oh, my gosh. Have you got choices? Don't say you have nothing to do tomorrow. There's plenty of things to do, all of which are different and equally fun. It is a fundraising effort by the Dearborn Symphony. And it's a 35th annual Dearborn Symphony Home Tour. They pick a neighborhood in Dearborn and work with the owners and set up a tour walk that you can walk from home to home and look at the grounds. And you get a box lunch included for $12 and visit other area, other vendors under a tent. Anyway, you begin at the tour at the Commandant's Quarters on Michigan Avenue. Okay, that is the Dearborn Historical Museum location. And you can purchase tickets in advance. Oh, first of all, tomorrow it's 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. You can purchase tickets in advance for $15 or for $20 the day of the tour. And you can do that at dearbornsymphony.org/home-tour-tickets. You can also call the Dearborn Symphony for more information, 313-565-2424, 565-2424. And where are they going to be walking this year? Shuttle buses won't be running this year, but the tour was designed to be easy to maneuver on foot. He said, we have it in a pretty walkable neighborhood between Brady and just past Military. There are also two churches where people can stop in along the way. Several local businesses are also involved this year, offering discounts to tour goers as more businesses have popped up in the area. They go pop.
Pop-ups.
Yep. Pop-ups, mm-hmm. Which I don't think we have too many pop-ups, but except for a typical pop-up would be like the people that sell fireworks before 4th of July weekend. Or sometimes at Christmas there's a pop-up or something. I don't know what it is. Anyway, so this is the historic Morley area neighborhood. That was chosen for the first tour. Okay. So this year, as we said, it's Brady and where is it here? Anyway, you'll have a great time. Just go to the Historical Museum sometime tomorrow between 10 and, it closes at 5, the tour, and take a walk around. Again, maybe a little showers in the morning, so just take an umbrella or something. It'll be great to see what some people have done with their homes already. Now, okay, this is a very important story that I didn't do last week, and you can go and read the full story at ArabAmericanNews.com. They picked up on this, that Arab American cops are leaving the Dearborn police force. Not all of them, but a few of them. Is this a trend? Is there a reason they want to leave? A negative reason they want to leave. Anyway, the story details that only seven in 2014, only seven of 184 Dearborn police officers were Arab American, less than 4%. Even though Arab Americans are 42% of City of Dearborn's population, according to the U.S. Census. But since 2015, they have tried to recruit more Arab Americans to the police force. At least four newly recruited Arab American officers have left the department over the past year and a half. Is that four out of the seven, or four in addition to the seven from before? Anyway, they had to file a Freedom of Information Act to look at the city records in order to get the story, but the four officers were the only ones to resign from the department since 2015, so no other officers are resigning. Two of the four did cite racist attitudes in the department as the reason for their departure. One former Dearborn officer told the Arab American News, quote, "They treat you with disrespect and insult you in front of your colleagues," unquote. That's just the opinion of one person who was one of these officers, former officer Dearborn Police Department, as quoted by the Arab American News. They don't give the name. The Dearborn Police Department has not returned repeated requests by the Arab American News for comment on this. The newspaper also made Mary Landros, director of Dearborn's Department of Public Information, aware of the former officer's allegations. Landros said she was working on arranging a meeting with the police chief to answer her questions. The newspaper extended the deadline for the story by 4 days to allow Landros to communicate with the chief. But apparently they haven't gotten any response yet. So they have a big report here. It's about 2,000 words. And again, it's online. You should read it if you didn't get a copy of their printed paper, which comes out on Saturdays throughout Dearborn. It's a very good background piece, and it just raises a question about a problem, which since there's so few people involved, again, only two of the four said there was a racist attitudes that they didn't like here in Dearborn, among the Dearborn police. And so, it's just a very small group of people, and everybody is different, and everybody interprets things in different ways. So without other, we can't say that's true for the sake of fairness, because it just, well, number one, there's no name attached to it, there's no details attached to it, but it is something that Arab American newspaper does want to cover, to raise the question, and see what's there, see what's happening. Okay, that was from last week, and April 26th, literally. Oh, we have so many opinions here, too, and we only have 4.5 minutes to go. My goodness. We always recommend, last week, and we don't have time to do it again this week, but last week in the Metro Times, which is, again, free newspaper, some usually four or five great investigative journalism stories you won't see in any of their papers about the Detroit area, and so we highly recommend you read that. Get a copy and read it every week, or go online, of course, metrotimes.com. But Politics and Prejudices, the Jack Lessenberry column, last week, the politics of prison reform and in Michigan, and we need that desperately. There's all kinds of problems with how we do imprisoning in Michigan, and he seems to sum it up really well there. But Craig Ferrand, our friend of the show, former editor for the News Herald in this area, and he writes columns every week, which you can't see in the Press and Guide or the Times Herald because he's sort of focusing on Downriver, or that's the only paper they'll let him put his comments in, whatever, for whatever reasons, which is strange. But he does talk about Downriver a lot. He lives Downriver, so why not?
I'd say he has a very good connection with the Downriver area.
In this case, this week, from this last Wednesday, May 11th, he talks about circular reasoning, also called circular logic. It's the notion that a conclusion simply restates the premise, which means that nothing is really being said, such as the statement, "The world is round because the world is round." That's stupid, right? Because nothing is really being said. Well, where does he see this happening? Case in point, he says, is the all-nighter the State House held last week to pass a lame excuse for Detroit Public Schools' financial fix. This is just in the House, and this has not been resolved. I've checked. The Michigan Senate does have a different bill, and they have to fix the differences between them, compromise or whatever, before it can be forwarded to be passed into law by the legislature, but the governor has to sign it. But the several problems with that House bill. And he says, quote, the people of Michigan want assurances that this incredible investment in the district will be used well and protected, unquote. He quotes Kevin Cotter, the House Speaker, Republican from the 99th District, said in a statement shortly after his party led the charge to come up short in helping the district reorganize its finances. But there is a disconnect here, says Craig, hence its circular reasoning. You see, quote, that incredible investment in the district, unquote, has been squandered by a succession of state-appointed emergency managers. State-appointed emergency managers, I stress, who turned a $100 million surplus into a $500 million deficit this year. And that doesn't count what some estimate to be a $1.7 billion-plus bond debt, which I don't hear anybody talking about. I don't know how that can be worked out in the future. Ah, those emergency managers, Craig says, a creation of a Republican governor and legislature over voter rejection of just such a concept. Yep, we rejected it as a public vote statewide, and by golly, within 3 months, the legislature voted it back in and made it unable to be rejected again by a public vote. Democracy in action, isn't it? Not at all. Of course. So he points out that the craziness, and you should read it for yourself. Again, you can go, if you don't get that, the Downriver paper yourself, thenewsherald.com. Thenewsherald.com, Craig Foran's opinion column. You have to click on, actually this week, his opinion was not under the opinion. It was under opinion menu, but they actually put it as a story too. So yes. God bless them, because it really is an important story. People should read every week. Okay. Uh-oh, 2 o'clock. You know what that means. That's right. Kitty Love, Best in the Blues, coming right up. By the way, final comment. I'll let John make the final comment, if he likes. I've just seen Michael Moore's documentary film, feature-length film, Where to Invade Next.
Yes.
I was blown away in a positive way. It was a fantastic film. He actually did a tour himself as his documentary crew to Finland, Slovenia, that's not Slovakia, Slovenia, Italy, France, Iceland, and Germany. And his goal was to bring back to the U.S. good ideas. And it turns out in every one of those cases, the people in these countries, like better public educational system in Finland, free university tuition in Slovenia, and Italy has like a 4-day work week with big lunches and so on. And Iceland actually takes banksters, that is the gangster-like bankers that caused the collapse, and puts them in jail. Puts them in jail. Okay, which we don't do, because that wouldn't be nice. And all of them say, anyway, in all those countries, finally, when Michael Moore asked them, where'd you get the idea from?